Reformed Church.
It is just a pretty cool understanding that because we already have the yes and amen from the Lord about all the promises of God, because Jesus already paid for these things, really, the whole concept of having a yes from God and knowing that we can partake of these things, and yes, we can partake of these things now, and yes, we can partake of all of the things, all the promises of God. There's a lot of scriptural things that you can go through, a lot of Bible verses you can give somebody to show someone that you don't have to wait for the resurrection to see certain results, that you can see them now. You can go to, you know, John 11, where Mary is talking to Jesus and telling him that, yeah, you know, yes, you know, in the resurrection. You can go to a lot of verses, but really, that understanding to me, and I think really should be to anybody, the understanding that I can partake of everything right now and whatever I want to see in my life, as long as it pertains to life and godliness, I can see that in my life, is rooted in the price that Jesus paid. It just is rooted in that firmly. Because aside from all the verses that I've read, there's nothing that makes me more confident that, or I guess you could say more sure, that I can partake anything that I want to see as long as it pertains to life and God. If I want to see something in my life, like, I have dibs on that right now. If I choose, not if God chooses, God already gave me the yes, right? On his end, he's already gave me the yes. If I choose to see something in my life, I can determine that. I can determine what results I see in my life. I can choose, and it may take time because we're learning, but you can still determine and say, you know what, actually, I don't want to see this result in my life anymore. I want to see this result in my life. And you can, with that degree of confidence and more so, state, I would like to see this in my life, and therefore I will see that in my life because I'm going to choose to believe it. You can do that. You actually can do that. The Bible says that you can choose your own results. It actually doesn't say results. It says that you can choose of course, in Deuteronomy, it talks about choosing life or death, which that deserves a little bit of explaining there. But in Proverbs 8 and 9, it talks about wisdom and folly, and they both call out, and they both have different messages, and they're both calling out to the simple-minded to come their way and to listen to them. But depending on which woman you listen to in Proverbs 8 and 9, you get different results. The Bible also says to be carnally minded is death, which is the results that you see from the woman of folly. And to be spiritually minded, which is like wisdom, is life and peace, which are the results that you find from wisdom. Actually, wisdom says in Proverbs 8 that he who finds me finds life, and all who hate me love death. And so to not receive the wisdom of God is to love death. And to receive the wisdom of God is to find life. And so you can just choose your results. You can say, actually, I don't like this in my life because this is not something Jesus provided for me, but I do like this particular thing because this is what Jesus provided for me, and you can determine that. God doesn't determine that. God doesn't determine whether you're spiritually minded or whether you're not. Otherwise, he would have never said choose, right? There's a concept of predestination in the church today, which nothing wrong with predestination, but definitely something wrong with the way that people teach it. And that teaching is made out to be that God determines your results in your life, and that is not true. There's also the God is in control methodology that people teach as if that's how things work, and that's also not true. The Bible does not teach that God is in control. The Bible teaches that God is in full authority, but it does not teach that God is actually controlling things or that his will is automatically done on earth as it is in heaven, which is why he asks us to pray that. But you determine your own results in your life. And again, you don't determine your results in your life just by saying, hey, I'm going to see this in my life. Positive confession. No, that's not how you determine your results. You determine your results by who you listen to. And if you say, you know what, regarding this particular area in my life, I choose to get better results. You don't do that by just sort of speaking to your flesh and saying, flesh, you're going to listen to me. Flesh, you're not going to sin anymore. Flesh, you're going to be healed. That's not how it works. Anybody can say that. Anybody can say, flesh, you're going to do this. Your flesh is not going to follow your dictates. Your flesh follows your mind. Your flesh follows who you listen to. That's the point right there. If you listen to wisdom, your flesh will follow suit with the results that come with wisdom. If you choose to listen to folly, your flesh will follow suit with folly. It depends on whether you put the seed in your mind or whether you don't. You don't get fruit in your life by dictating, I'm going to see the fruit. You get fruit in your life by putting the right seed in. It's the seed that produces the fruit, not your dictates. you cannot, we cannot transform ourselves. You can't just decide to transform yourself. The Bible said that transformation happens just as by the Spirit of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So you don't have direct, hands-on control over your transformation, right? Like, it's not direct. But it's like those little office toys that you see with, like, the little metal balls where you drop the one on one side, and there's, like, three or four of them in between, and then it pops the other one. That ball does not directly hit the ball on the other end, right? But it does have control over what the ball on the other end does, right? But indirectly, right? It hits this ball hits this one, hits this one, hits this one, hits this one, and then it causes this to move. So as much as it doesn't have direct control over it, if you don't drop this particular metal ball and swing that one there, this one will not swing out either. And so likewise, you choose your results. The results are that ball on the other end. This is your mind over here. You choose who you listen to. If you listen to wisdom and acknowledge the truth in a particular area of your life, you just hit. You threw that particular metal ball down, and then because you listened and acknowledged that particular result in your life, that allows the Holy Spirit, who's the ball in the middle, to activate on the inside of you. And then he produces the transformation directly. The Holy Spirit is the one that has the hands-on direct control over your transformation, but he, the middle ball, can't do what he needs to do unless you choose to acknowledge him. So really, ultimately, it does come down to us, and not us transforming ourselves. It comes down to us believing, understanding the truth. That's the first ball to swing there, activates the middle ball, the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that has the direct contact with your transformation. So, yet not I, for instance, even that whole series we did about it's not us that, you know, it's not us that live, it's Christ that lives in me, that's all true. None of that is untrue. It's not us that do the transformation, we're the ball on this end. We don't have any direct, you know, control over the transformation on that side. Yet, all of it starts with us. Because it doesn't start with us transforming ourselves, though. It starts with us choosing wisdom and choosing to renew our mind and choosing to acknowledge the things that we have in Christ and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to believe like a typical human being. I'm going to believe like someone who is heavenly, someone who is, as the Bible calls us, glories, someone who is glorified. I'm going to choose to believe and think as someone who is glorified, as someone who has their problems fixed. I'm going to choose to meditate on those things. That is the cause that activates that center ball and then causes the transformation at the end. It reverberates through the Holy Spirit and causes the transformation at the end. So you not having direct control or not having to work directly, therefore, on your transformation, which is like the whole Yet Not I series, you having rest from your works or rest from causing that last ball to swing there, does not absolve you of the choice. It is still your choice that calls the transformation, not God's. God may be doing all the transformation by his own work and giving you rest, but you're the one that allows the Holy Spirit to work to begin with. It is your choice. You determine what results you get in your life. All the miracles that you see in the Bible did not happen by osmosis and did not happen by God's sovereign will. God, his will is already, he's already told us. His will is already that the whole earth look like heaven. We already have a yes and amen to every promise of God. So what's the holdup? Our learning is the holdup. It is not God. It is not God determining, will you receive Elijah? You are called into heaven at this particular time. Enoch, you'll never see death. Moses, you part the Red Sea. No, no, no. Read Hebrews 11. What did these men do? By faith, Enoch was taken. Because he pleased God by believing God. He swung that first ball and said, I choose to believe. That activated the Holy Spirit, which then allowed the transformation at the end to say, you will never see death. But Enoch chose that by choosing to believe wisdom. Enoch determines that, not God. If it says by faith Enoch, and then it ends with the result, you know it wasn't by God's sovereign will, Enoch just happened to do this because Enoch was special before God. Because God is not a respecter of persons. So why did Enoch not see death, even though most men of God have? Because Enoch did something that other men of God didn't do. If you choose to believe like other people aren't believing, then you're going to get results that other people aren't getting. That's us. It's always us. It's not that you're not trying hard enough. It's not that you're not working hard enough. It is something that you're not seeing, though. And you choose to see it. That's completely in our court. That ball is completely in our court. And so that's why you see in Hebrews 11, none of that says, simply because God chose, completely out of the control of any of these men of God, this particular result happened. No, those particular results happened because people chose to believe God. That is what activates. And by activate, I literally mean him. I'm only saying that it allows the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to do what he already wants to do. He's already saying, yes, that promise that you just heard about at church, yes, that's for you. I want to see that in your life. That particular thing that you were reading about in the Bible that I showed you that's yours, yes, that thing I want to see in your life. Heaven on earth, yes, God wants to see that in your life. Well, if it's all yes and amen from you, then what's going on? Because we need to give our consent by believing it. It's the first thing that falls and say, okay, yep, that's what sets everything else in motion. It's wisdom or folly. Choose who you believe. You can choose the results that you get in your life. It is actually predictable. The men of God that saw, even read, I challenge you, and I'll stop right here. Read the book of, even the book of Kings or Chronicles. Read those books, and you will see the fluctuation between godly kings and their choices on when they chose to believe the Lord, and ungodly kings, and even godly kings when they chose to not believe the Lord in certain circumstances. Look at the rise and fall of Israel. It's predictable. This is not unpredictable. This is not God's will and so mysterious. No, Ephesians 1 says that God has already made known the mystery of his will. There's no mysterious thing about God's will. We already know his will. Ephesians 1, if you want to check me up on that. We already know God's will. It's already a yes and amen for all these things in our life. It's very predictable. When people start seeing Jesus, there's a rise in the activity of the Holy Spirit. And when people aren't seeing Jesus, there's a decrease in it. That's how it works. And for all those that are believing in Jesus, I just encourage you to do that all the more, because that is how you get results in your life. It really, really is. We determine our own results by believing the things that Jesus has already said yes to. That really is the case. That really, really is the case. And you know what? None of that should burden you, because it's not work. But what it does is it actually gives you the feeling of like, man, it gives you the feeling of controlling the results, and therefore worry and fear and all this stuff. A lot of worry and fear is just based on uncertainty. It's like, I don't know, this bad thing might happen. What if this bad thing does happen? But when you know that you can choose, where is there any uncertainty in that? It may take time. I'm not going to tell you that it may not take time, because we have to learn. But where is the uncertainty in choose life? When God can put that in your court to choose life, man, there's no uncertainty. There's certainly no uncertainty on God's end, because Jesus is already the surety of the better covenant. He's already the yes. But even on our end, when I can choose and say, no, I don't like this result anymore in my life. Don't like this. Therefore, I'm going to choose this result. As long as Jesus provided it, I can choose it. There's no uncertainty. And if there's no uncertainty, then there's no worry and there's no fear. Perfect love, in other words, everything that Jesus did for us and the choice that he has given us, therefore, to receive, casts out fear.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.